This is WTF, What's Threatening Farmers? The podcast where we take on the policies, the pretenders, the activists, the do-gooders, the uninformed, the misinformed, and the just plain ignoramuses. The wingnuts and the nut jobs and the nitwits, all of whom are attacking agriculture and putting at risk our farms, agribusinesses, and rural way of life. I'm Gary Truitt, your host for WTF, What's Threatening Farmers? Raising livestock has never been easy. There's checking those waterers when the temperature is minus zero. There's getting up in the middle of the night to check the fans in the hog barns or the heaters in the dairy barns, or just making sure there's enough feed out there in the fields. And then if you're a poultry producer, now you've got to stay up nights worrying about whether your biosecurity is good enough to keep the diseases away. Well, don't worry, folks. You won't have to be doing this very long because there are a whole group of people with lots of money and some very strange ideas that want to help you get out of the livestock business. Yes, I know, the animal activist movement has been around for a long time, but this is not your father's animal activists. These are nut jobs with a whole new set of tricks, a whole new agenda, and a bit of a different way of doing things. No longer are there just pedo weirdos taking off their clothes in public to protest fur, or guys going undercover and making videos and editing them and putting them on the internet to try to say that all livestock operations are terrible. This is a new group of people with lots of money and some very sophisticated tactics that you need to know about. Emily Ellis is with the Animal Ag Alliance.
Animal rights activism is nothing new, but the tactics and the trends used by these organizations continues to change and evolve from year to year. Currently, the main groups that we're following, they bring in over $800 million in income each year. So they have quite a bit of funding, most of which is being used to go for lobbying efforts, advocacy efforts, to push for a vegan, plant-based diet. They want to move away from animal agriculture.
Now, here's one of the new tactics they're using. They want to become your friend. They want to help you leave the industry of animal production.
Groups like Mercy for Animals, they have a project called the Transformation Project, where essentially they're trying to build relationships and inroads with animal agriculture farmers to transition them away from animal ag into either crop production or some other type of industry entirely. We've also seen U.S. Senator Cory Booker introduced a bill for the same thing, to transition away from animal ag.
While anti-animal ballot box issues are not new, these groups are stepping up their efforts to make sure that raising livestock may soon be against the law.
With the November 2024 election, we've been tracking a lot of ballot measures throughout the country. California had two from a group called Direct Action Everywhere, which is a very extreme organization. They were seeking a CAFO ban in the city of Berkeley, which did pass, and also a CAFO ban in Sonoma County, California, which did not pass. Sonoma County is much more agriculturally rich, so that would have had a much larger impact. Berkeley is right outside of San Francisco. There's only one horse racing track that's impacted, but it's the precedent that this initiative sets. These groups will oftentimes target areas that are very minimally impacted, so there's not a ton of opposition. And they use that to get something to pass, and then they take that to other cities to try to gain more momentum for those similar measures.
Now, we can be complacent here in the Midwest and say, oh, those are the nut jobs in California or the wackos in Florida. That'll never happen in our community. Just wait. Ella says they've got you on their radar.
They've already sent out a list of cities that they're considering for the November 2026 election to do something similar. Cities like Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan, we're all on that list of potential cities to replicate these measures.
But wait, there's even more. These companies, as Alice indicated, have a lot of money, and they're using a lot of that money to buy stock in companies that produce food, that process food, that retail food. They're using this influence to force these companies to adopt anti-animal policies and procedures.
Two groups, HSUS and the Accountability Board, which is essentially an offshoot of HSUS, they have been very active in proposing shareholder proposals. Just this year, we've been made aware of 40 proposals from those two groups, which is about double what we saw in the previous year. Many of them are animal welfare focused, but there have been some that were environmentally focused as well. From the first half of the year, the proposals that we saw, there were 16 that were voted on related to animal welfare. They all failed. There wasn't a ton of traction behind them. But we did see some success on the environmental side where there have been one or two that have passed by these organizations. And they've noted that the proposals that are less prescriptive, so they don't detail how an organization has to meet certain policies or certain goals in the proposals, those are the ones that are more likely to pass. So we do expect to see some similar measures. But again, it's just another method of them trying to leverage whatever influence they can have over changing policies for farmers and ranchers.
Now, if you've been paying attention, which I'm sure you have, you might have noticed that there is a difference. There's a change in the messaging of these organizations. As Ms. Ellis has pointed out, they're no longer talking about animal cruelty. They're not talking about animal abuse. They're not talking about animal rights, per se. It's not about crate-free eggs. It's not about gestation crates. These groups are promoting a vegan lifestyle, not because they think a vegan lifestyle is great, but it reduces meat demand. They're investing and promoting plant-based or lab-based meat products because, again, that puts pressure, lessens the demand for animal agriculture. These groups will do anything and say anything to anybody as long as it results in less meat being consumed.
While they might appear to portray themselves as being concerned about animal welfare or the environment, that's just one tactic for them to get closer to their goal, which again is animal rights, animal liberation, eliminating animal agriculture entirely.
So there you have it. As livestock producers, we have a choice. We either give up and start producing kumquats or something, or we stand up and fight and raise our voice against anti-animal agriculture activists.
I think the most important thing is just making sure that we're all doing our part to elevate those voices, share those stories. Animal agriculture is a very small community. It only makes up 1-2% of the population. And if we're not doing our part to share our story, we're letting those animal rights groups tell that story for us, and they're not going to tell it accurately. So it's very important that we're all doing our part.
Now, there are lots of ways for you to raise your voice. The first thing is to get informed. You've done that right now by listening to this podcast. Now you know what the situation is. Find ways that you're comfortable in raising your voice, in telling your story. Perhaps it's just talking to your neighbors. Perhaps it's just talking to friends. Or maybe it's getting involved in fighting against ballot issues, legislation, or perhaps arguing with people on social media, although I think that's a waste of time. The key is to get involved with organizations like the Animal Ag Alliance. Visit their website. They've got great resources and ways for you to get involved. Or whatever farm organization you are involved in, get involved. Find out how you can begin to raise your voice and help fight against the attacks to agriculture from the animal rights movement. Thanks to Emily Ellis with the Animal Ag Alliance for her cooperation and information on this podcast. I will tell you that no animals were harmed during the production of this podcast, although I do think we've bruised a few egos of the animal activists. Next time you hear information that's not accurate about livestock production, about meat consumption, raise your voice, stand up and say, WTF? That's what's threatening farmers. Don't miss another edition of WTF. Subscribe to this podcast on the Hoosier Ag Today or Michigan Ag Today podcast network, or wherever you download podcasts. Meanwhile, stay on top of the latest threats to agriculture on the WTF podcast page on Facebook. Join me next time for another edition of WTF, What's Threatening Farmers? I'm Gary Truitt.